Welcome to Real Career Talk. I'm your guest host, LaTanya Floyd, and we are here today with our very own Phil Burkett. This is a monthly podcast brought to you by the network, where we bring you internal and external experts to discuss career hot topics, including our talent development pillars for 2020, emotional intelligence, education and skills development, and networking. As mentioned, today we have Philip Burkett, retired senior trainer, AT&T. Philip Burkett worked for AT&T for more than 30 years. His career in leadership development in AT&T University spanned over two decades. Philip has been certified in more than 40 leadership courses, including crucial conversations, professional presentations, situational leadership, Patrick Lencioni's Five Dysfunctions of Teams, and Stephen Covey's Leading at the Speed of Trust. Philip had the privilege of training all over the AT&T enterprise, in-house with traditional classroom styles for various groups and specialized events. His virtual training reached internationally in several countries, including the Czech Republic, France, Japan, the Netherlands, and the Philippines. He also has taught in Brazil and Argentina. Philip always had a passion to teach, train, and mentor others. He is a native son, born and raised on Chicago's West Side. Philip was educated in the Chicago public school system and received his Bachelor of Science degree in Computer Information Systems at DeVry University. Philip has a faith background. He currently serves in leadership roles at the local, district, and regional levels. In 2014, Philip was appointed to the office of State Youth President in Southern Illinois Ecclesiastical Jurisdiction. Philip believes that proper education and effective communication is key to making a lasting and profound difference in our communities. Philip is married, has four adult children, and four grandchildren. He enjoys riding his motorcycle, grilling, and is a lifelong fan of the world champion Chicago Cubs. Go Cubbies. Welcome, Phil.
Well, good morning.
So I know how you usually like to start the session with finding out what our favorite morning beverage is. And we know yours, right? Starbucks,
yes.
Dark Roast, Cafe Misto, with five pumps hazelnut and sometimes even a sprinkle of cinnamon.
Yes.
I'll tell you mine. It's also right. Starbucks Dark Roast. I've been brewing Cafe Verona for myself, adding some unsweetened almond milk and usually adding in some vanilla creamer as my sweetener. So since we know what your favorite morning drink is,
yes,
tell us how you like to start your morning. How do you like to start your day?
Well, good morning. Good morning, LaTanya. So how do I like to start my morning? Actually, there is some giving recognition. Lately, I've been walking my dog. I get up, first of all, and I try to make sure that I am on a physical sense, I'm drinking some water first thing in the morning. I kind of do some stretching. I'm getting a little older now. Not as young as I used to be. I can't just jump out the bed. You know, hey, we're going to be frank, right?
Yes, indeed.
Okay, I can't just jump out the bed like I used to. So I got to take it easy. And then I take my dog for a walk and really just take a moment to reflect before I dive in to my rituals, such as news and study and learning and growing and impacting others. Does that make sense?
Awesome. Yes, indeed. Okay. So let's dive right in.
Yes.
Our first question for you, Phil, is from all of your years of providing leadership training, what have you noticed your students to have had in common, especially as you taught around the world?
Well, you know, LaTanya, I often say that in a lot of my classes, I tell people human behavior is consistent. We all have similar traits. And when I was thinking about this, the world really is smaller. You know, it is small. We have similar traits. We have similar tendencies, no matter really where you are. You know, young adults, you'll see the same behavioral responses across the waters like you see here. We often look at regionally. You know, we say, well, did you grow up in the South? Did you grow up in the North? But no matter where you are, you see similar tendencies. Generationally, you see similar behavioral responses, which, you know, I think our generational course at AT&T says that the generational tendencies were pretty much the same. We talk about five generations in that course. They were the same, about the only difference was the heroes that were chosen. So I'd say human behavior is consistent, but what makes us unique, where diversity comes in, is how we respond to our situations, whether it be to each other, whether it be to people that we know, people that we don't know. Our situations, people often ask me, Phil, that when I was doing this for 20 years, they say, Phil, you still doing this? So yeah, I'm passionate. I love what I was doing. I was passionate about training, sharing of knowledge. But the one thing that was so interesting to me, no class was the same. It was unique. Mm-hmm. Each person brought a uniqueness to the course where you had to ponder your responses. So, but in the core, foundationally, we're all similar in a lot of ways. I will say, add another thing. Sometimes the uniqueness, the unique difference was maybe the similarities was the level of management. I when people came to my class, they were in management. Mm-hmm. I rarely taught the union representatives, albeit I had taught the union representatives, probably due to something that drastically took place and I had to go and teach a class to a whole environment. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. But the level of management also was interesting. You had the first and second levels who had a mindset. You had the third and levels and the fourth levels that had a different mindset, and it really depends on where you are in business. So it was interesting watching how that, you know, transpired, seeing who was coming in the room. That was always so much fun. Hope I answered that.
Yes, you did. But I will follow up a bit and say that were there any leadership traits? You mentioned that most of your students were management. Were there any leadership traits that these students had?
It's interesting, you know, you have people that are given a title, but that doesn't necessarily make you the leader. And I often did an exercise that said, you know, what's the characteristics of a manager? What's the characteristics of a leader? Mm. When you think of someone with the given, and one of the results that comes out of that is, management title is given. The leader title is earned.
Wow.
So you think about management title, you say, okay, I have objectives, I have goals, I have to actually divvy out responsibilities, I have to manage my team and my resources. But then when you get into leadership, you have to be able to inspire. You have to be able to, and how you communicate, to influence. You have to be actually the one that changes the thermostat in the room. If that makes sense. You have to create a new path for many. I often tell folks, I say, hey, leaders don't often follow a path. They create new paths. And visionary, there's a lot of things that I can say to that. You have to have your mindset. You know, you have to be looking to grow, develop, and inspire and influence others.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you made that distinction between being a leader and being a manager. And so definitely to your point, a leader truly does develop their people as well, right? So that is wonderful. Thank you so much for that.
Funny you say that. I want to say something to that, Latanya. It's funny. Sure. If you're not... I can go into a managerial role and work the business, but if I'm not, the difference, you know, what truly is leader, I was in one of my organizations, I was talking to a person that had a leadership title. And I asked them, I said, who are you mentoring? They said, whoever they give me. I said, wrong answer. I don't, you know, again, because in my mind, you're always searching for new in people, developing others, transferring knowledge, you know, shifting And with that, you're taking others with you on that journey, on that path, and growing and developing, not just yourself, but others. And we'll get to another question you have for me a little bit later, because I'm going to add on to that.
Awesome. Thank you so much. All right. So the second question we have is, please share with us the five dysfunctions of a team. I remembered reading the book some quite a few years ago, even before joining AT&T. And I do recall that I enjoyed the book immensely. It helped our team to be more cohesive. But would you share with us those five dysfunctions?
Well, when you think about Patrick Lencioni's book, it was one of our most sought after courses. Because when you think about dysfunctions, he starts out talking about trust. And as we well know, and as we see in our environment in business, it's a part of there. Matter of fact, one of our courses say you don't really think about trust till it's not there, because it's just intertwining in everything that we do. Mm-hmm. Now, Patrick Lencioni talks about it in a format he shares, hey, the very cornerstone of teaming and building is trust. You know, building relationships, it's about trust. Building teams, developing teams, is about trust. Leading is about trust. Now, without trust, you have an environment where people will fear being vulnerable. They will fear being vulnerable. So with fear of being vulnerable, what does that look like? That means that I'm hesitant to share my views. I'm not necessarily right. One that will go out on a limb. I will always be safe, if that makes sense. So, and he builds on it. He talks about that, just that you have to start with trust. Yeah, you have to build relationships, and with the focus of, I want to build trust with you. Now, but that's it. Without trust, then he talks about the next layer, which is all about, the fear of conflict. Absence of trust will lead to the fear of conflict. Because what is fear of conflict? All conflict is not a negative. There is positive conflict, and then there's negative conflict. Positive conflict is that I can engage in a tough discussion with you, you know, and walk out and we still cool, right? But if in fact I can't share my thoughts, you know, in a way where and going back to the previous step, which is understanding I'm going to be vulnerable. If I can't share and know that I'm being vulnerable, I won't engage in that tough discussion. I will settle. As a matter of fact, Patrick Lencioni calls it artificial harmony. I will settle for artificial harmony. The most interesting thing when teaching that class, I say, how many of you all will ignore an issue for the sake of peace? You'll be amazed that 80 to 85% of the people will raise their hand. Oftentimes you will find that. So because of my lack of trust, I won't engage in that tough discussion. I won't engage in that discussion that will cause me to be vulnerable, or I show my hand. Does that make sense? So with that, now if I can't trust you and I can't really, you know, use my voice, you know, I can't use my voice, say what I really want to say, I will not commit. You're going to have a hard time in leadership and building teams if without trust, and you don't have people really sharing their true thoughts and feelings and being vulnerable. Because of that, I won't buy it. You're going to have a hard time to get me to commit. Right. Mm-hmm. So it kind of builds, the model builds on each other. It's a fascinating thing. And you see it often. In business, it all goes back to, though, that cornerstone, which is trust. So because of the absence of trust, because of the fear of conflict, because of the lack of commitment, then now I won't feel like I'm accountable for anything. If you don't allow me to share my voice, why would I ever commit? And if I'm not committing, where am I accountable? Right? The avoidance of accountability. So I don't want to do that. And then, when you have that person who is not accountable, their only focus in some of our classes, you will see leadership classes, they build off of each other. And I will challenge our audience when you take a course, see how one relates to the other and how you can build that knowledge and use it to build a better you, right? Make you out to say, what can make me powerful? So the last model step that he talks about is inattention to results. That's a person who's probably all about themselves, not necessarily for the team. Okay. I'm not focused on team objectives. Matter of fact, you would pull from some people will say I'm in fight mode or I'm in fight mode. It's about me, or I'm in flight mode. I'm trying to save myself. So I'm not really concerned about the bigger picture. It's about me surviving.
Wow.
Those are, in a nutshell, that's dysfunction.
Wow. So the lack of trust, thereby causing, you know, the inability to be vulnerable or to build those relationships and have those tough discussions.
Yes.
Thereby being uncommitted to whatever the project is. And then
because
you have
I
no
wasn't
account-
able to share my voice.
Right.
Yes.
Absolutely. And then there's no accountability if you're uncommitted and you're all about self-preservation. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So you mentioned that trust is that cornerstone. So what are the critical factors in building trust?
Well, in business, let's talk about business. What do you think? But in order to get into business, you really have to talk personally first. So what do I mean? What do I mean by that? Well, Covey, and you can find a summarization of Stephen Covey's Speed of Trust out on the internet. You will find it at publicsummaries.com. You can find it. And he talks about trust. And one of the things that he shares in trust, he starts with self. Mm-hmm. You know, first of all, before I can even talk about trust in others, I have to trust myself.
Wow.
Right. So in order, what does that mean in regards to trusting myself? First of all, it's about building a better you. Before you start going to impact others, you have to make sure you're powerful. Right. Because you can be powerful in the negative way. So if you think about relationship, hey, if I'm going to trust you, I have to trust myself. In business, what does that mean for me? Am I meeting my goals? Am I meeting my objectives? Am I the commitments that I say that I'm going to do? Am I walking the talk? Am I walking the talk? And when you think about that, you say, wow, I got to make sure that the image or the model that I'm displaying is true and sound. Now, that's before I get into, and there's a lot more to that in regards to understanding what self-trust is. Then when you move from self-trust, now you can go into building into relationship trust. And he talks about a lot of things. It's about how do I establish, the positive relationships. How do I make sure that I like the way he summarizes it in the actions that I take that I'm depositing into the trust account for you. So Latanya, you and I, the things in regards to relationship trust, there's constantly a trust account out there. Mm-hmm. Am I taking the steps to deposit every step that I take, it's either about depositing into that trust account or withdrawing from the trust account. And with that, there is that relationship that is constant there. What is it that's causing me to not trust you or vice versa? Well, what was the last action that took place between us? Did I deposit or did I withdraw? And if you were to go into your relationships out there and look at your peers and say, okay, what's my relationship? What's my trust account look like with this individual? Am I at a negative balance? And then why? And he goes into the different things that you can do to, matter of fact, he talks about, in regards to building relationship trust, he talks about talking straight, being transparent, writing wrongs. You'd be amazed how many people just live with stuff that's wrong and do nothing about it. and then wonder why our relationships are stagnant, right? So those are things that you, some of the things that you can do. But first, it starts with you. It starts with you and building your own self. What am I doing that's causing me to be powerful or not presently? You know, hey, how can I make sure that I am building the right self so that I can be powerful in the moment? Does that make sense, Latanya?
It absolutely does. Absolutely. And so thank you so much for that. So, you know, when you mentioned making sure that your own self-image is intact, how do you recommend we do that in a business setting when sometimes we're often not treated in a way that we're actually performing? Hopefully that question comes across without me getting too specific, but sometimes we're not appreciated as much as we're actually giving. So what would you tell those folks?
Well, in our environments today, we can see a lot of scenarios that would cause us to say, I don't want to commit all. I'm going back to the model, you know, the model that we just talked about. Where is it that you are not committed? Where is it that you, I can pull so many models into this discussion, Latanya. Where is it that we're not committed? Where is it that we're not feeling accountable? Why is it that I'm not showing the attention to results that I should be? How do I deal with that? I have to look at what is my main goal? What is my main focus? What is my main priority? Where am I trying to go? At what level of commitment? I often talk about rational and emotional commitment, right? One course we were teaching. And so am I rationally committed to this objective, to this team, to this leader, to my peer, or am I emotionally committed to that team, that peer, that direct report? And therein lies, it can help you identify why you do what you do. So in other words, rationally committed, it makes sense. Rationally committed is it makes sense from financially, I'm trying to get somewhere. And I have to stay focused on that. And whether it's financially, whether it's from a career objective, I'm trying to get somewhere in business. I'm trying to get this. So I have to go take this path. Rationally, it makes sense. Now, with that said, emotional commitment is three times more powerful. Data supports that. When it doesn't make sense, I still do it. When that team out there that, when that leader is, you know, not necessarily, I see that that leader is not doing what's best for the, business. I still have to do what's right for, I would challenge it to answer your question. I would challenge to look at that, challenge a person to say, okay, from a team perspective, I'm going to do whatever I can to support my team in spite of. And if I can't find it there, I have to look at, okay, from a leadership perspective, you know, I'm going to do what it takes. Emotionally, I'm going to do what it takes because I believe in the mission. I believe in where we're trying to go, what we're trying to achieve, the greater good, means to an end. Can I buy into all of that? Am I passionate about that? I can't tell you, Latanya, how many times people have called me and said, Phil, I just got a problem with this boss. And it's driving me. I say, then you really need to have that tough discussion. You know, are you passionate about still what's going on there? Are you still emotionally committed? Because rationally, it makes sense. I'll do it. But emotionally, which is really what's needed for a business to excel, you need to be emotionally attached to that objective, that goal, and sometimes even that person. If I can't find that, I'm going to have a hard time achieving where I am. Wow. You really are. You're going to have a hard time.
That's tough. That is tough. So basically you try to stay rational in the sense that you're committed to the project itself. But if you don't have that emotional commitment, it's something's going to be lacking is essentially what you're saying. And so, you know, to your point about having those crucial conversations, how do you go about that? You know, boss to direct report to boss, and peer to peer.
Well, first of all, you have to have an honest conversation with yourself. You have to have an honest conversation with yourself first. And that honest conversation looks like, well, why am I not where I should be? Let's be more in there. I'm going to try and bring it more specific. LaTanya, if you and I, we're in business working together and we see that, let me put it to you this way. You ever come to work and you come to work and you see a person, you want to go the other way?
Yes.
You know, the day is, it's a beautiful day. You come in, you excited, you about to have a great day, and then you log into Q. Come on, can I be frank? You log into Q and you see that name, and you be like, ugh. You know, all of a sudden, you really need to have a conversation, a transparent conversation with yourself first, and say, okay, where am I in this relationship? What's going on? What has transpired? How have I contributed? Do we forget that part? How have I contributed to it? And you have to be, I go back to self-trust. If I can't be vulnerable to myself, I mean, come on now. What are we doing? So if I can't be vulnerable with myself in that moment, I have to really say, okay, what's really wrong? How did I contribute to this? And what are we going to do to make it better? How can I make sure in that relationship between you and I, LaTanya, we're always powerful together? Why be, or else am I settling for less? Those are the things that you have to ask yourself first about what's going on with you. Mm-hmm. What's factual? Now, what's interesting is how much of it is opinion and how much of it is factual. You'll be amazed that in the Crucial Conversations course, when people took one exercise, they was like, you know what? It was a lot of this was based on my assumption. Not necessarily what was truth or what was actually so. I concluded this because they just bad. You know, they just need help. Is that bad? No, no. You just know. I'm like, no, I don't know. I want you to tell me. But a lot of that is based on assumptions, opinions, conclusions that are not factual, and labels that we have actually deemed as truth.
Right.
And unfortunately, that in itself, that stops us from moving forward in a powerful way to getting the true resolution and true answer. And going back to something we have, how can I commit? I got, you know, that what's true? Those are some of the things I think that can help.
Yeah. And to your point, you know, we do have to see how we contributed to certain situations.
Yes.
You know, and I think that sometimes though, Phil, if we're honest, you know, people continue to show you who they are over and over and over again. Yes. So what do you do in those situations?
Well, the conversation that leads to, I only told you one step. All of that was about one step. I forgot the other part that you asked me. Okay. So you just brought it back to my attention. When you think about how do I engage in the discussion? How do I engage in the discussion? You have to sit down and you have to structure that. And I'm pulled from that course. What am I saying that I really want in this conversation? Do I want truth? I decide I want to sit down and have a conversation with you, LaTanya. Mm-hmm. Do I want really truth? Do I want, resolution, or do I want to prove myself to be right?
Mm.
Do I want my conclusions that I made is so, and I'm going to prove it to be? I had a young lady once tell me, I said, oops, I didn't say young lady. I'm sorry. I had a scenario where we were going through open-ended and closed-ended questions. And I tell people often, I say, hey, if you really want to get to a better solution, ask a better question. What do I mean by that? So you can ask a closed-ended question to get you where you want, but did you leave opportunity there because you didn't ask an open-ended question that allowed more in that discussion? Mm. Does that make sense? So how do
it does.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, okay. So I know. Okay, hold on. So how do I sit down and have this discussion with you where I keep everybody in the room? How do I make sure in the, because it's not going to be an easy conversation. It's called crucial for a reason. It's not going to be an easy conversation. So how do I position it in a way that keeps you sitting in the room with me so that we can get to truth?
Right.
Does that make sense?
It does. I mean, to your point about, you know, making sure that it's not just about you wanting to prove yourself right. That you're actually there, not only in our other conversations that we've had in the podcast, you're not there just to talk. You're also there to listen, to understand. And I think that might be where you're going with that you're not just there trying to prove your point, but you're actually trying to get some resolution and closure in the sense that you can actually move on with that business relationship.
That's true. Awesome. Excellent.
All right. So, wow. Dropping a lot of truth here, Phil. Okay.
I'm sorry.
No. It's good stuff. So what would you say are the key differences? We talked about building those relationships, and I know that part of our pillars are, you know, is networking. So what would you say are the key differences between networking and building relationships?
Well, boy. Okay. So when you think about networking, and building relationships, the difference is your priorities and your objectives. So what do I mean by that? And I'm going to, I don't know if I'm going to go against my dear friend that we had the discussion in one of our previous sessions. Networking, it's about, if done right, by the way, networking, if done right, is about what am I looking to obtain? What am I looking to achieve? Where am I trying to go? Where, you know, one of the articles that I was reading talks about, you know, the elevators, you know, everybody should have an elevator pitch in their pocket, right? What are you doing? Where are you going? How's it been effective? And so forth. Well, what am I looking to achieve in that objective? Excuse me, from an objective standpoint, going back to that rational commitment that I had earlier, what am I trying to do? Am I trying to achieve this in business? Am I trying to reach this level in hierarchy? Where am I trying to go and how can you help me get there? Now, let me be clear. And this goes back to what we heard in a previous conversation. That is assuming that it's not all about you. If you get what I'm saying, let's be reasonable. I am in that networking. I have networking in the mind because I have a place I'm trying to go and I need others to get there. I was talking to my son the other day. I said, hey, then when he was going through school, I said, you will not be effective. You can get through school, but you could be so much more powerful if you network it. If you use networking to your advantage. You know, because there's more to achieve when you can have others along on the journey with you, right? Building relationships is about, if you truly want to understand building relationships, it's an investment of time. It is about building trust. It's not something that can be accomplished just by handing a card over. It takes time. It's about those discussions where And I go back to your level of, I go back to that networking room. If I'm networking, there's a rational commitment there. If I'm looking to build relationships, there is a rational commitment, but there is also emotional commitment involved. Does that make sense? So I think about those two. It's kind of funny. You use LinkedIn. What do you use LinkedIn for? You use LinkedIn for networking. It's a big old networking tool. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. That's what it should be. And I have someone told me once, they said, Phil, I don't put anybody on my networking, on my LinkedIn profile that I want on Facebook. And it was kind of harsh, but I was like, well, what do you mean by that? And they were like, well, you know, I'm trying to get somewhere. And for me, LinkedIn is about that. It's about networking, to a means to an end. It's about accomplishing certain things. So those are the differences I would look at. And it's about your priorities and objectives.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah. So basically you're saying, it sounds like you're saying that networking is essentially, you know, you getting to know certain people that may be able to help you to get to where you want to go. And, you know, we kind of talked in previous, sessions about that being reciprocated, right? That you're not just there to get, but you're also there to give. And I think sometimes if we're not that mature in the business, we might think, well, what do I have to offer? But there's always something, right, that you can offer. And to your point about building relationships, and you mentioned the word emotion, right? And I think we can all relate to those people that we feel an emotional attachment to and how we interact with those people with care, with trust, even, you know, with love. And so I think that when we talk about the building relationships, we're talking about a true commitment, you know, to that person, you know, and I know we're talking about in business right now, but essentially it's still that caring about that person.
I agree with you. Great summarization. I agree with you.
Thank you, Phil. All right. So, you know, we were talking about the various courses that you've taught.
Yes.
And there's a course that I took that mentioned that while, you know, people are usually hired for their skills, a whopping 89%, 89% are let go because of attitude. Would you kind of share your thoughts around that statistic?
Well, okay. So, and I agree with that. I agree wholeheartedly with that statement. There's a course that I was teaching where we talk about skill. We talk about skill level. But what's the difference maker? There's a lot of people out there with degrees. There's a lot of people out there with degrees and experience. So what's going to set you apart from the next person? A lot of people in interviewing will look beyond just the skill set and look at intangibles that makes the whole you. And how does that mesh with my environment, with my team, with my business and my objective, going back to that networking, you know, just as much as you're talking about what do they have for you to get where you want, they're looking at, do you, to the previous people, leaders that stated that, they're looking at you and how you can help them as well. Going back to that interviewing course, excuse me, you have people out there that their skill sets are exemplary. But then when you say attitude, I say willingness. I say, do you have the chemistry? You see it in sports. Think about sports. You have people, when you look at NBA, you look at football and then pro football, pro basketball, pro hockey. You see these teams. These are the people that are the creme de la creme. They're at their highest spot in their roles. But why did their team fail? Oftentimes it goes back to chemistry. Did you mesh well? Are you willing to do, what it takes? Now, this is a loaded answer. Are you willing to do what it takes to make us better? Now, what does that mean? Going back to some of our previous topics, you know, you might not get your way. Are you willing to accept that? When you think, are you building teams? Are you willing to go the extra step to serve and go beyond your skill set? Sometimes it requires, talk about the conflict. How did you handle that last conflict situation, conflict filled situation where you didn't get your way? How did you respond in that moment? Okay. What do you do to make your team great? Are you building teams with your interpersonal skill sets, pulling from the extraordinary leadership model? Are you building teams? Are you having those conversations where you're seeing people grow? We're talking about in a leadership mindset. Are you helping people grow? Those are the things that they're talking about. Rob, one statement that is out there that says, I'll pay more for the ability to deal with people than any other ability under the sun. There's something to be said about being able to deal with people. Something to be said about that. Are you able to deal with people, communicate with people, work with people, grow people from a leadership perspective? If you, and I said this, in regards to that chemistry, if you're able to deal with people, a lot of doors will open for you. A lot of doors. Because, you know, there's skill out there. You have skill, but it's going to require more than just the skill just to do it. You know, I can reach the goal, but I can reach the goal so much better if I have a team that helped me. And with that mind, that has that mindset to grow and do better, grow together, learn together, develop together, move together. And there's a certain type of chemistry that's necessary there. Does that help? Does that answer your question?
Yes, it absolutely does. Thank you so much for that. And so we're talking about those teams, and sometimes, you know, the chemistry isn't there. And we know that there's a term, fatal flaw, in the business context. What does that mean? How do you recognize it, and how do you fix it?
Well, when you're thinking about fatal flaw, that's, I was looking at an article from Forbes that was talking about fatal flaw. It's a characteristic that's really, it's really derogatory towards you. And he talked about 10 of them. They said not inspiring. Remember, we were talking about the difference between being a manager and the difference between being a leader. Mm-hmm. And so you're talking about not inspiring because you're not enthusiastic about what you're doing. You're lacking that passion. You're lacking that energy. You're accepting mediocrity.
Wow.
You're accepting mediocrity. And this is all from a business standpoint. Let's talk leaders, the leaders out there. They're lacking clear vision. And if any of you have been exposed to the extraordinary leadership model, you will see a lot of these components in the extraordinary leadership model. That, again, we've talked a lot about trust today. They've lost trust and never recovered from it. And you think about lost trust. How do you lose trust? Probably from a character standpoint, you made bad judgment call. You did something that impacted you from a judgment perspective, or just simply your decisions didn't pan out. So you lost trust. Mm-hmm. You're not a team player. It's all about you, going back to that person dysfunction, or you're talking about dysfunctions of teaming. You're not a role model. You're not a role model. You're not self-developing. And one of the other tenets of the extraordinary leadership model is all about developing yourself, continuously developing yourself. You're resistant to new ideas. You're resistant to new ideas. Mm-hmm. And then finally, you're focusing only on yourself.
Wow.
These are all, you know, components of what a fatal flaw could look like.
Okay. So for some folks, we're talking about fatal flaws then with an S, right?
Yes, most definitely.
It's like multiple applying to both. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, it sounds like a big component of this is that willingness to change. So how important is being willing to change in our current business environment?
In our business environment, in life today, in business and in life, if you are settled, you're not moving. You're not moving. If your motor has shut down, You're eventually going to become stagnant and unuseful. Mm. You're going to be unuseful. You know, Latanya, you and I have had discussions about this in regards to becoming stagnant. You know, I challenge anyone to go out there and read Who Moved My Cheese.
Yes, settled on,
right. You're settled on past successes. right? Albeit you can't ignore history. You can't ignore history and you can't ignore what's been done. And we learn from that, but you have to always look to grow. Every example that you see, whether it's in sports, whether it's in business, the people that are excelling, the people that are extraordinary in their field, they've never stopped growing. They're always looking to grow and develop. Now, what does that look like? You know, that means, again, you have to have that self-talk and say, where am I vulnerable? Where is my flaw? Mm-hmm. You know, I have had many scenarios where people argue with me. Phil, I'm not that. I'm like, but you filled out the answers. It's not a conclusion for me. You did it. You know, we have to be true to ourselves. You know, I'm gonna be true to myself. Okay, yeah, be true to yourself. Where is your flaw? Where is it that you have true opportunity? It's a transparent view of where do I have opportunity to grow? And I love to use the term, where am I not powerful? Mm. What's causing me not to be powerful? Is it because of that relationship where it wasn't, I was doing a session. Can I go there?
Yes, you can. Okay. Absolutely. Real career talk, Phil.
I was doing a session in a certain area in the country, and the exercise was, it was called, what was it? You had the exercise where you had an egg, a raw egg, and you had this raw egg, and I gave you strips of tape, not a lot. And a few straws. And I say, your objective is to build in a certain amount of time, is to build a contraption that will hold the egg from a drop. And I pick out the tallest person in the room.
Wow.
And they would drop the egg. One group, it was alarming. And it was alarming. The one group that was, they blamed me for the problem. They said he didn't give us enough time. He didn't. He only gave us this. And the leadership that I had in the room, and they were a vice president, they were looking at this, wow, this group, blame me for the exercise failing that they did. It was alarming because I was sitting there going, whoa. I was going, whoa. And I'm like, wow, they never, ever accepted responsibility for their actions or lack thereof.
Right.
Well, and the leader called them out on it. That's the worst thing you can have when a leader calls you out on something so obvious.
Yeah.
And so it really is, when you think about it, it's really about understanding where you are, what's going on, then transparent talk within yourself. Where am I? Where do I have the opportunity? I challenge you to go back to that model, look at the extraordinary leadership model and say, hey, where is it that I need to do better at interpersonal skill sets? Where is it that I can do better at personal development? Where is it that I can look to, reach objectives, more successfully or effectively? Where is it that I need to focus on change? And then the central tenet is all about character.
Hmm.
You know, how do other people view me? You know, there's an old parable, don't let your good be evil spoken of. Are you coming across in a way that, you know, people are drawing conclusions that aren't true? Then you need to have that conversation. I hope that's helping.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so these are kind of some of those core things that one should know as they're developing in the business. So what would you tell your 20-year-old self? And do you have a message? Do you have a message for today's youth, especially those entering the business world?
Wow. I would tell you to take care of yourself. Okay. Latanya, I gotta remember, I got the audience out here. They're listening. So, my 20-year-old self. So I would look at a couple of things. Number one, always look to, and I'm just going to go there in this way, physically stay in shape.
Mm-hmm.
Because that will impact you mentally. that will impact you emotionally. You have to physically stay in shape. Stay in shape. That's what I would tell myself, Bill. Stay in shape. You know, you ain't gonna be 20. So anyway, you gotta stay in shape. You gotta work out, man. Because think about it from this point of view, you're about to get into the business. If you're going into the business realm and business world, you're gonna find stress that you ain't never seen before. Mm-hmm. And you're gonna find pressure you ain't never. Did I say ain't?
Can I just interject just for a moment?
Yes, ma'am.
So on Friday, you know, we had our at the movies with David Huntley, who is our chief compliance officer. And it was on the movie Just Mercy. And one of the things that he pointed out is how taxing being mistreated can be. Yes. And so when you start talking about being in the business world and the stresses that sometimes, can you kind of just speak to that a bit? Some of the stresses that are unwarranted.
Is unwarranted to whom?
To the person who is being mistreated, and mistreated is the operative word.
Yes. Well,
is that included in those stresses that you refer to?
Yes, most definitely. You will always feel that you're never given. First of all, in business, you'll never feel that you're given the value that you deserve. You'll never feel that way, albeit right or wrong. That people will never feel that they're paid the salary they deserve. Mm-hmm. They're most often. Some people be like, "Well, yeah, I'm good," you know. But most often, 80% of them will say, "No, I'm not treated that way." So, from a value perspective, there are many times you will be overlooked. From a value perspective, you will not be chosen for the next task that you think you should have gotten. From the value standpoint, you don't feel that you're trusted or your skills are given the consideration that you think it should be. Let's talk about from a value. We're talking from a value perspective. There is mistreatment that'll flat out happen. You will be overlooked. You will be let me go a different route. You will be misused. You will be misused. In other words, you are the skilled one in the room, and the leader will use you and use you again. And to the point you will become exhausted. I'm trying to keep it at a 30,000 foot, Latanya. There's so many variables that could come into play there.
I understand.
So you will feel less, you will still feel that you're not treated. You will feel that you will be overlooked. And in other situations, you will feel that you are being misused or overused. And some of that also might be because you said, I'm the one, I'll do it. I don't know how to say no. I don't know how to turn down that task. I don't know how to turn down that new initiative. I feel like I gotta do more. Let me go a different route to my network. And all of the marketing ploys that I've been involved in, what I have found is that we, as a people, are required to do more than others. In other words, where you have one rule of thumb, and I'm going to say this, you have one rule of thumb for that's the normal equation. And then you have our equation. Mm-hmm. And you have to add the five times to that. Whatever that normal equation is, you got to add the five times over here when we're talking about my people. When you're talking about us over here. So, and that's, you will find that's truth. In my, when I used to sell shoes at Wild Pair, I had to go, I'm working at a handicap here. I'm working at a handicap. I hope I'm not being too harsh, but I'm working at a handicap and I have to work around that. I have to work through that and over that. It requires me to do five times the work. Yes, it does. It will require me to do that. Because of that, those stressors there, you have to. So going back to your original question, you got to take care of yourself physically. You have to take care of yourself physically. With that said, I want to add another layer. Back in the 80s, a person told me, Bill, you will only be allowed so far in business. without paper. You have to educate. You have to continuously grow. You have to continuously develop yourself. One of our previous sessions, the person said a degree isn't necessarily carrying the same weight. It won't be overlooked that you don't have one, though. All right. So, you, if you don't have one, you won't even get in the room. And I had, two discussions. A person, you know, favor ain't fair. Sometimes favor just supersedes everything, but a lot of times you got to work for it. You really have to work for it and be ready for that window of opportunity. So I would tell you work. I would tell you to educate yourself. I would tell you to make sure that you physically are doing the things necessary to keep your body balanced, because you will deal with stressors you've never dealt with before, whether it's fair or unfair. Stressors will be there. Pressure will be there. And then if you decide to take on a leadership role, there will be more added to that, because our eyes will be on you. And there's something to be said about that. Don't get me wrong. There is a gratification that's really, you can't speak to it. It's self-gratifying. There's so much worth in it, in your inner self that it will do more for you. So physically, you have to be physically fit. Mentally, you have to be prepared for those stressors that are going to come. Avoid the mistakes that you would say is a stupid mistake. What's a stupid mistake when you knew better and you did it anyway? So I'm going to go to an old parable. To know better and to still do wrong is going to be costing you later. So I knew better. There are many of us that will sit out here and say, man, I knew better. Mm-hmm. You have to avoid those, because those add up. Those mistakes add up. I don't know if I'm going down the path you wanted there.
Oh no, that was perfect. And so to your point about getting the paper, right? We had, in our last session, you know, the surprising revelation that, you know, a degree is great, but now, you know, it's good to also have certification to prove that specific skill. So that's something to keep in mind as well. All right. So Phil, we're actually coming up on the end of our hour. Believe it or not, that seemed like it went by so quickly. So my last question for you, before you just give us some general what's going on with you type of stuff, how would you sum up leadership for someone looking to become a leader in the business?
It's about serving others. Mm-hmm. It's about serving others. Dr. Paul Hershey, who wrote and created the model situational leadership, one of his statements was, what does this person need from me in order to be successful? And you should always have that in your mind. How can I impact my team to be successful, to be the best? Matter of fact, to not need me.
Wow.
How can I make it where you are not dependent on me? And I want to serve you in that manner. I want to give you everything that you need to be successful. It's about serving.
And when you think about leadership,
exactly. It's about serving. And that's what I would sum it up. That's how I would sum up being a leader. It's about serving others.
Awesome. So hopefully the audience sees why we wanted to have you on as a guest and to pick your brain with all of the training knowledge that you have on leadership. And we truly appreciate you, Phil. So in the last couple of minutes that we have together, did you want to share with us what's going on with you? You were recently retired. What's going on with you, Phil?
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, you know, retirement is not what I thought it was. I'm just going to say I'm busy. I am busy. I got a lot going on. I'm trying to get my, I'm not just sharing something with you all that I'm not doing. I'm trying to get physically fit. I'm working on that. I'm walking my dog every day and we're riding my bike. I got some I have some peers that are challenging me across the country. I'm working with my youth group. We have a virtual conference that's about to take place. And though it's over 3 days, I've helped, you're talking about sharing. I've helped, from a religious standpoint, help this group go virtual. It's about sharing knowledge, right? It's all awesome. I've helped them go virtual. You know, I'm just enjoying retirement, but I've never stopped wanting to share and transfer knowledge. So I'm looking for opportunities to transfer knowledge and I have that working in the realm. I'm about to hopefully become, I'm working on a board with the Garfield Park Conservatory here in the West Side about, you know, impacting the inner community, inner city community. I'm enjoying that as well. Those are the things that I'm doing. Busy, LaTanya. Awesome. Oh my goodness. Sounds like it.
And you host Real Career Talk for us, right? And we truly appreciate you. We truly appreciate you, Phil. Now, I know that you also sing. So is that album still on the horizon?
Oh, find out what you're passionate about, LaTanya. Find out. You know, you never say never. I've always thought about doing an album. I've sung with the likes of Aretha. I sang with some Grammy artists and so forth. That's my love. I love that. Is it on the horizon? We'll see. More to come.
Okay. Well, did you want to close out with a little song or anything for us?
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. No. Oh, LaTanya, seriously. Wow. That is a curveball. That is a,
you know, I had to give you at least one, right?
That is a curveball. Oh, wow. No. Okay. You all know, audience, you all know that. You all don't know. Well, if you don't know, I'm an introvert. She knows that. She is just throwing this at me.
Oh, wow. Come on, Phil, an introvert. We're not going to buy that. But we will give you a pass on the song if you don't want to share
that
with us.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Phil, for letting us pick your brain. It has been tremendous, and I think that our audience will truly benefit. And you know, is there anything, any last words that you want to close us out with?
I will tell you, audience, find ways to be powerful in the moment. And you really need to ask yourself, why would I accept anything less than that? I need to make sure that I'm powerfully present for myself and others. I'll leave it at that.
All right. Awesome. Thank you so much, Phil. Thank you all for joining us, and we hope to have you at the next Real Career Talk. Have a great one.